Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand, Melania. Permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist, fake woke, an imposter, only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C, that's my roster, and no, I just been
Hello, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Back at it again.
Well, it's happy Tuesday for us, but I'm sure that there's a couple of people that it's not a happy Tuesday for.
Boy, it's a happy Tuesday it's an extra happy Tuesday for a couple of people who, you know, hopefully, you know, feel justified and, you know, feel good about
the situation. I hope that they were justified in what they did. I hope they weren't doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You can always hope.
Well, is Daddy on the line? We don't want to start without him.
Not yet. We can't have this conversation. It'll be biased, kind of, sort of, if we have this conversation without his perspective.
Minutes. In the time being, I just have to discuss something that I was looking through Netflix to find my next addictive TV show.
And why are you looking for a show when I already told you a show to watch? Why are you looking for a show when I've already given you a show?
I need a solo show, you know.
Sure.
Because we have family time show. And then we have, it talks about, like, cult life and, you know, the brainwashing that it took for them to get into this cult. And, you know, just them explaining everything that they've been through. When they were going through it, it didn't seem like it was bad. And just that the mind games that people play and you know, how they start out, there's different levels to it. So they don't just start out with a cult. They start out slowly and it develops. And I was just like, it just reminds me of, like, the Surviving R. Kelly show and the Weinstein. I was watching a Weinstein documentary to talk about everything that, like, all of the girls that came out. It's been a known, you know, situation, known by the police force. They knew for years before anything ever even came out publicly.
Of course they did.
It's just amazing.
The same thing about this topic we're going to talk about today is the same thing that happened to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
They are complicit and accepted and knowing it, but the moment that you go against the establishment, they will ruin your life. Anyway, that's not what you're talking about. We'll talk about that later. Go ahead, continue. Sorry.
Well, it's part of a bigger situation that is going on, and it's a situation that needs to be talked about. Because, you know, if we keep quiet about certain, and it's just in general, just looking at everything that you keep quiet because it's taboo to talk about, or you feel physically or emotionally threatened.
Like they will tear your life apart if you say something, like what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, it's just very interesting. So I started watching that documentary, and I was just like, wow, this is just... It's just amazing, you know, what people have to take into consideration when doing this, and the fact that people are successful in their attempt, because it's like sort of like a trained, they know what to look for in order to find their next prey. And then the prey sort of just falls in line in a sense. And it's very few that actually get out of situations like that. And
you know what's
just interesting to me?
What's interesting about what you said is that, like, so many of us listen to, like watch stuff like that, and we're like, we would never be caught in something like that, and blah, 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 and, like, how could people let this stuff happen? But
mm-hmm.
most Black people are in the woke cult. Regular folks, Christian people, but that's what it is. Christian people are in the religion cult. Like, a lot of us don't have our, and we all go with what society says and with the mob mentality. Like, we believe if we see something, we automatically want to cancel somebody. Like, oh, I was listening to The Breakfast Club, and Nick Cannon was on The Breakfast Club, and they were talking about, cancel culture. Like, people, a lot of us, not me, not you, not that, there's a lot of us that don't, but there's a lot of people that they will tear you apart if you don't believe what they believe. Like, I don't care what you think. I don't care what people think about anything. A lot of us are part of cults and don't even realize it. The pro-Black movement is a cult because people hear certain people say things and then they automatically believe what they say. And if you don't believe what they say, then you are not Black enough. Like, people say things, people advertise it. Now everybody got an American flag in their bio on social media. Why does everybody have, like, we're, a lot of us are part of cults and we don't even realize it. And we judge people that fall victim to it. And I'm not saying that you are, but I'm saying, like, in general, a lot of people judge people when they fall victim to certain cults and certain things. But a lot of us are part of cults. It's just that we are part of a, like, Christianity is a large organization. So you don't feel like you're part of a cult because you're part of a huge organization. It's the small ones that get judged.
You got to look at the definition.
Cult,
so like, cults,
you're following
but cults are looked at and they're associated with, like people who, like, sex cults. And not all cults have a dominant sexual, like, uptaking or however you want to say it. So it's like,
yeah,
when you look at cults, like, maybe cult is the wrong word for the bigger picture of what people go through, but it's like it's so easy to fall victim or to survive being approached by something or another that is cult-like behavior. Like, and people shouldn't feel ashamed of it, because people who are the preyers, people who are the aggressors, are very cunning. They're super smart. They know exactly what to look for, how to pick somebody out that they know is looking and searching, and they prey on individuals. And these are evil, cunning individuals that know what to do and what to say in order for them to gain whatever power, money, power, respect that they're looking for.
But it's, what you're saying is exactly correct. But the thing about it is that that's not abnormal. That's not something out of the ordinary. Most of the things that we do on a daily basis and the decisions that we make to judge other people, when we're part of an organization, the only thing that makes it one normal and one abnormal is the size. The larger it is, the more acceptable it is. Religion is a large organization, whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, whether you're Jewish. Those are organizations created by people to make other people believe something that they believe. What is the difference between that and a cult that is tiny and judged by society? What is the difference? Because not all cults want you to do something, but even certain religions encourage you to do something negative. Not everybody, but there's certain ones in certain cultures that feel like it's their duty to encourage you to do something that you wouldn't do if you weren't part of the organization. So what is the difference between you saying, oh, you're not black enough if you don't believe this, this, and this, and you're not good enough to get to God if you don't believe Christian? Like, what is the difference? The only difference is the size of the organization. And I'm probably going to get attacked. But
it doesn't matter. But, what we fear the most is speaking out on what we want to discuss and how we feel about it. Because you may be saying this now, but something that you say may make you think and it may change your mind. Or not saying that what you're saying is wrong and in your mind needs to be changed, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes we say things which should be allowed, and then when we process it, we realize one thing or another, we stick with it, we make minor changes or we change. But, you know, for us to be ridiculed about every single thing that comes out of our mouth is hypocritical, because nobody in life is perfect. And if you are
that's called growth.
And you're
that's called growth.
Yeah, and it's like, and that's the thing, in so many different levels, that's the thing, like, you know, when people spew hate, when they spew ignorance in the best form of the best definition of the word ignorant, lack of knowledge, when individuals do not know, but they think they know because they've heard it, because they've done, they're YouTube scholars, because they've read it here or halfway heard it there, you know, and then when you start to educate people, only someone who does not want to learn and just wants to just talk will stop you from talking or stop themselves from learning. But, and I know you said this in the past, when you've had conversations with certain people, when you express yourself a certain way and you come and you let them know, like, your opinion, either they'll agree with it or they'll disagree with it, or they'll respect your opinion and how you feel. But everybody is entitled to say what they want to say, be who they want to be, do what they want to do, as long as their intention and their spirit
is
clear. Exactly. Right. It's all about intent. And everything is about intent.
Right.
And so when somebody's voicing how they when people voice how they feel, that's how they feel. No one should take offense to how another person feels. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion. And the problem that we sometimes have as black people is we take offense. We hold on to what people feel. And a lot of times what people feel may be within that moment, it may be them venting, it may be their ignorance, it may be, you know, something or another that's going on in their life, but we have to allow individuals to express how they feel first and foremost, because we wouldn't want anything taken from us. We wouldn't want our ability to express ourselves taken from us, and just allow them to stop this cancel culture. You know, I just hate that title in general. Cancel, like, I feel like cancel culture, aka black, it's almost like associating with us in a negative light. Like, that just name itself just bothers me, because we're not the first to do it, and we're not the ones to do it the most. Before quote unquote cancel culture, there were other different names. But now it's more so, let's do cancel culture so the black culture will cancel each other out and we will never be who we should be, and we'll continue to be crabs in a barrel.
That's all it is. Because even like what Nick Cannon went through, and one of the reasons why I was mentioning certain things is because he was just on The Breakfast Club. I love Nick Cannon. The work that he puts in as an individual is amazing. Like, he is one of the most hardworking people ever. And when he said when what happened, he wasn't even lying about what he was saying. He wasn't wrong. Perhaps he should I don't even know what the perhaps is.
But it's his opinion. Regardless.
But it's not even that it's an opinion. It's also factual. It's not just that it's his opinion. The thing that bothered me is that society was making it seem like he backpedaled and apologized. The one thing that I felt about Nick Cannon was that he stood his ground and he didn't let anybody take advantage of him. And he said what he said, and he didn't care what people thought. I thought that he was backpedaling from that, and that's what bothered me. I was just hoping that he would stand firm. Don't apologize. Express yourself and come with the facts. But don't apologize for speaking the truth. If you say something and it's honest, there may have been things that he shouldn't have said, because I don't know everything that he said. But the things that people were attacking him for are not lies. If there's an original people that were part of a certain group and it evolved into something else, and the present day you look like this now, that's a fact. Don't be mad because you don't know your history. Don't be mad because somebody else knows your history better than you. So that's what upset me about Nick Cannon. But everybody was ready to cancel, and people are ready to cancel people, and they don't even let them grow as people. Like, yeah. That's why Charlamagne said about Malcolm X, that they wouldn't have let Malcolm Little become Malcolm X. And I actually changed it. They wouldn't have let Detroit Red become Malcolm X. And if he lived in this society, Detroit Red would never have been allowed to become that. Malcolm X wouldn't have existed in this generation, because we are ready to cancel people immediately.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's so
nobody
sad because
even
we never know
people
who people will become because we don't even allow them to. We don't allow them to grow into the Malcolm X that they can be. And when you think about just the psychology of it, who wants to be miserable? Who wants to be negative? Who wants to be angry? Who in society, who in life wants this? Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to be in a great relationship.
They say they want it.
No, but that is everybody's intention. Like, in life, you don't want to be angry. But when that's all you know, when that's all you've experienced, you don't know how to be happy. You don't know how to be joyous. You don't know how to even recognize happiness. You don't know how to say, I like this. All you know how to say is, I do not like this. And you just focus and harbor on all of the negativity as opposed to taking your experiences and growing from them, because everything that we experience, we have to learn from. It's telling us something.
Right.
And whether we realize it or not, well, we set out to do certain things and it does not happen. That means that doesn't mean that it will never happen. That just means, like, let's go back to the drawing board.
How can we do this?
How can we grow? Right. How can we become better and stronger? And a lot of times people look at the superiority and inferiority, looking at, you know, the different cultures, the different races within sports, within book smarts and colleges and, you know, things like that. And the reason that Black people, African American people of color will continue to be better at the sport is because we have to work harder as opposed to our counterparts who don't. They've never tapped into that grit, that everything is against them. Their hands are tied, their legs are tied. They never had to experience it. Therefore, they will never be as great as we will be, whether or not they realize it or not. You know, we've never been given a handout. There's never been times where we're given a handout that other people have been given. So, you know, every time we get in a car, we start driving, we have to worry about this, this, and that. And that causes stress, and that causes high blood pressure, that causes other medical issues that our counterparts who don't have to worry or stress, they're stress-free as it relates to that, they're less inclined to experience some of these health effects. Look at the environment. Look at the foods that are offered to us. Look at financially, can we afford Whole Foods or can we afford the bodega on the corner that's not going to have nothing that is organic or that won't have things that are vegan options or vegetarian options, you know, or options that will help to nourish and grow us, as opposed to, you know, Whole Foods, which is extensively more expensive than any other, you know, grocery store that I know of, I mean, that I've been to. and looking at what is provided to us, what is given to us. In my grad school, I did a study on nature versus nurture and, you know, the socioeconomic effects that how does that affect us in the way that we grow and, you know, the medical ailments that we deal with, you know, what are the hospitals that are around us? You know, go to your nearest hood or your nearest area. We're in New York City. Go to the Bronx. Go in the main hospitals that you see, Lincoln, you know, all of the HHCs that you're able to see. What do you see outside? You see a methadone clinic that's right around the corner. You see druggies. You see homeless people hanging out outside. You go to, I've been to a hospital in Connecticut. It looked like a college campus. I was like, this is a hospital? And it's a total different sort of atmosphere that you experience, what you're exposed to. What are you seeing when you're growing up? What are you expecting to see as you grow? You know, because everything that we learn when we're a child is what we take with us as we grow up. Our experiences, whether we're going to be successful or not, where's the furthest that you've traveled? What are the experiences that you've been able to have as a youth now going into your adulthood? You know, do you feel like the sky is the limit? You know, have you been told by your teachers that you're nothing? Have you seen your teachers and all of your teachers do not look like you? What are the experiences that you're experiencing, you know, living in poverty or living in low socioeconomic environments versus individuals who are living in suburbs? That all affects what we do, how we feel, how more susceptible we are to listening to other things in society that may look like a get-rich-quick scheme in a sense where, you know, I'll give you $100 to do this study, but the study is going to shorten your life by 10 years. Like, who's more innate to go and take that $100 is going to be individuals who are from low socioeconomic environments, that $100 is going to be grocery food for their family for a week or two. You know, it's just, you know, who's more, you know, able to take advice from somebody that is not part of their, you know, that doesn't look like them versus, you know, who are our leaders? Who do we look towards? Who are individuals that we aspire to be? You know, just within our lifetime is when there was a black Barbie, and now they got these Barbies at the stores. And I'm like, this is not... We grew up with Kenya, which was a African garb. Right. You know, I'd rather have one option than 10 options that they look like Little Kim at her finest hour.
Oh, my God. I know. What is it called? What the hell is it called? Demon Time. That's what it is.
But it's
it's the definition of what you're talking about.
But when you look at everything in general, when you boil it down, when you really, you know, really take time to think about why are we doing this? Why are we talking about this? Why are we having these conversations? And the reason that we're having these conversations is because it's been so taboo for us to have these kind of conversations. You know, it feels so weird for us to talk about controversial, you know, situations. And even though we all may have a different opinion on the topic, it's all relevant. And, you know, I'm coming into this conversation and I probably will take something out of it that may change my perspective, not change it totally, but may make me think about different things and reflect on different things. And vice versa. So it's like, that's the importance of these conversations.
And I am going to give an opinion that most women probably would not give my opinion. I do not.
But you don't know.
Mentality. No. There's women that will agree. No. I know there's women that will agree with me. there's women that will not agree with me. There's women that will be triggered by what I said because I haven't experienced what they have experienced. And for that, I apologize because I understand. But the one thing that we have to remember is that we cannot treat other people based off of our own experience because of things that we've gone through. We can't mistreat other people because then we're just as bad as the people that victimize us. So we have to remember that when we are triggered by certain things with certain people, we're being just as unfair to the people that we are misjudging because we are triggered. So we need to work on our own PTSD and not mistreat and ruin people's lives because we are triggered by something that happened. Right.
But that's the thing.
But
communication.
And personal reflection. We need to take into account our issues and fix them instead of projecting them onto other people because that happens a lot in our society. That happens even with everything that this is still not the topic, but everything that's going on with Lil Nas X. A lot of people are triggered by him because of their own issues. If you are triggered by Lil Nas X, you have a problem because if you are black man, black woman, white man, white woman, and you are triggered by Lil Nas X at all, you have a personal problem, and I stand firm in that. If you say if you talk about him, there's a reason you're talking about him. If you cannot move past the fact that this is a young man living his life and saving people by maybe there are some things that are a little bit too sexual for younger people. However, him being who he is and being comfortable in who he is safe. There's people that will not kill themselves because he is a representation of somebody that they could be in the future. So I really have a strong opinion about a lot of things, but this has nothing to do with this. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of things that we are triggered personally by other people, or we need to worry about ourselves. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say.
Did you want to say something?
I want to say something. I know this is very. Hi, Daddy.
Hello.
Yeah, he said Daddy's on as well.
Okay, so you know it's almost the song time, so I'll just say it super quickly. We can play a song and then get into the topic at the, you know, at the other half of the show, but. As it relates to Lil Nas X, I feel like, and I know that, Sasha, you have a very strong opinion on this. And, you know, even my opinion or my thought process about this has sort of changed from having different conversations and just, you know, reflecting on what we're seeing and what we're dealing with. So Lil Nas X is... How old is he? Help me with his age. Help me with how old he is. I know he's in his 20s, right?
Yes.
He's in his early 20s. He's in his early 20s. So when he came out, with a country song that was rejected.
That wasn't allowed to be country.
Yes, it was rejected by country music because of however they worded it, but basically it came to the point where people felt as though it was rejected. But let me finish. That people felt as though it was rejected because they didn't realize that he was well melanated brother. So you know, hearing the song, you can't really tell. I mean, it's so hard to tell the way that a person looks from their voice in the song. So
but he doesn't
you
have
know,
an authentically
he came,
authentically black voice.
That's how we will word it. That was well worded. So, you know, just looking at that rap and R&B said, let me embrace you. So we, you know, that genre took him on, you know, called it country, and people started jumping on the bandwagon, respecting him, encouraging him. And at this point, he had not come out gay, straight, LGBTQ, there was no pronoun
non-binary,
behind him. Nobody
blah,
knew.
Blah, blah.
Yes. Nobody knew who he was. They just felt as though this hit home because country music was ours first. It was taken from us, and then they tried to ban somebody that just wanted to sing the song how he wanted to sing the song, and that song became a hit. It blew up everywhere. People empathized, sympathized. They respected him for what he did. I think the turning point came for Lil Nas X when he came out in a more controversial outfit. When he came out, I think it was to an awards with, like, leather chaps on, and people started to question or whatever. So then, you know, he did come out as gay. He came out and said that he, you know, which he didn't have to, because it's nobody's business who you lay down at night with. There's nobody's business what you identify with, unless you feel as though this is something that you want to share. So when he came out and said that he was gay, I think people, that's the twist that came. And people in our culture, in African-American culture, it's very, very hard for people to even touch on the topic of homosexuality. I think it's such a taboo topic for a lot of individuals because they don't feel that comfort in having conversations. And, you know, whether they feel a certain way, whether they're on the down low, whether, you know, whatever the situation is, you know, I think that he's so talented. And I think that with these controversial topics, people can't handle some of the topics. And some of it is racy. But we have to remember, he's in his 20s. Same thing that he's doing is what Miley Cyrus does. Same thing that you see in all of these half-naked women in these videos, in thongs, and you know, he
exactly.
He's expressing himself as he should. And we have to also remember,
exactly.
In African culture, being naked is not a sin. Like,
exactly.
You know, women walked around topless, and they were not Googled at. They were not, you know, harassed. They were not sexually assaulted. They, you know, this was not something, we should not be ashamed of our bodies. So how he chooses to express himself is one thing.
Right.
And I think people are just, they just can't deal with how happy he is. They can't deal with
and successful.
how he feels about himself. They can't deal with his ability to express himself in unapologetic ways.
Right,
and I think that, you know, for me personally, gay, straight, you know, sexually fluid, you know, some of the things are just a lot to you know, digest. Like, some of the themes that he has are...
I'm part of it, and I can't digest it most of the time.
So I think that people are using the concept of not being able to talk about the topic to now blame it on the sexuality of it and the sensuality of it, and just, you know, I can't deal with seeing black men in this light. But we have to realize that people come in many different forms, and if they choose to do what they choose to do, if his art form is the way that it is, that's on him. I don't have to watch his video. I don't have to buy his music. I don't have to, you know, sleep with him at night. He's not my partner. Like, I don't have to worry. Like, there's some
like
things that
Simone.
We take
Why
personal.
Why do you sound like B. Simone right now?
Oh, sorry. We don't, but my thing is, like, we take things so personal. Like, it is affecting us. A person that I do not love cannot make me hate them. A person that is not part of my loved ones, you know, if they're not making me money, if I'm not intimate with them, then it has nothing to do with me. You know, even part of families, even friends. It is not my business who you what you decide to do at night, as long as it is not hurting anybody. As long as it is not breaking anybody down.
As long as it is not harming animals, children, elderly and mentally disabled, because some people like to be hurt.
Yeah.
Don't judge the people who like to
don't get it
some
twisted.
People like to get
not everybody likes,
do what you
not
do.
Everybody likes vanilla
no
stuff.
Exactly.
I learned that term from you. No, not everybody. So
not
it's
everybody
like, you
likes
know,
the vanilla.
So it's like, you know, and Daddy always says this all the time, I ain't got time to mind nobody else's business. when I got all this business to mind of my own. I'm worried about how I'm going to become a millionaire, a billionaire, and a trillionaire. I ain't got no time to deal with nobody else's business.
Exactly. I'm working on my own emotional stability. I don't need to be worried about nobody else's, what they got going on.
Exactly.
I'm worried about
they laughing at you to
stability.
The bank. Guess what? They laughing at you to the bank because Lil Nas X, exactly.
Have you ever watched
that's
his
the
video?
Publicity that he needs.
Have you ever watched his video? Have you ever looked at his background? He's got nothing but blue skies in his background.
Look.
Not
exactly.
The video.
And that's what he's been
like
saying. And that's what he's
doing
been
well.
That, like. Yeah, and the thing is that, like, he's doing it on a legitimate level. Like, it's not even like
yeah.
I feel like that last video was half trolling people. Well, majority of it was trolling people because it was talking about going to jail because of the Nike sneaker, the Air Max.
It's called internet, and he was getting sued. It's called internet baby.
Yeah.
If you listen to the words,
yeah.
First of all, everybody is so worked up about the black man twerking in the shower. If you watch the rest, that is he is one of the most creative artists, and he put that whole video together himself. All of his videos, he has a very strong hand in. He is one of the most creative,
yeah.
intelligent.
I mean, just the whole devil
out.
Situation. Take away the concept or what people feel like the demonization or whatever. Like just the imagery of it, and just the concept of it is different. I'm tired of the same old that we've been getting. The same records, the same beats, and you ain't saying shit on it. On his music.
The man gave a lap dance to the devil and then killed him. He gave a lap dance to the devil and then slaughtered him and took the power away from the devil. And you are so insecure and ignorant and you don't get that,
but
you have a problem. You
need to
reevaluate yourself. Like, he took the power
away
from the devil.
Like, but I don't think
it's
insecurity.
No,
I don't think I think it is, like, people are scared to have these conversations. People do not feel comfortable. And the best thing that anybody's able to do is communicate, because guess what? If the kids watch that video, what are you going to do? You're going to be mad at Lil Nas X, or
exactly.
are you going to have a conversation
exactly.
with your child,
exactly.
an open and honest
exactly.
conversation with your child that will allow
you
your child to be able to express
child.
Himself. Yeah, and express
exactly.
they're able to come to you about certain topics and express themselves, because this is not the first or the last, nor is not anything in between of what your children or adults are going to be exposed to. And the important part is being able to have a conversation about the topic at hand, whether you like it or not.
And I promise you, I'm not saying insecure in the way that you feel like you might be, not you, but like black men might be part of the community. That's not what I mean when I say insecure. I'm saying that
yeah. No, but
are
it's
not
the negative association.
Wait. No. What I'm saying is that people are not, people assume that if you accept and allow and don't have an issue with Lil Nas X, that makes you the same as him. So I'm not saying that people are insecure with their own feelings. I'm saying that we don't want to speak out against society, and we don't want to have people side-eye us and think that, oh, you're fine with Lil Nas X having black men twerking, you know, that means that you should have been in the video with him. I'm not saying that people are insecure.
But that's ignorant people.
I'm saying
that's ignorant people.
No, but there's a lot. But people still don't want to be judged by society. There's things that I don't
because
say.
People care too
if
much.
I care. There's things that the only people that know about my book are the people that have read it. There's things that I am uncomfortable talking about, but if you read my book, you're like, holy shit, who is this person? This is not the person that I know. But I am still a little bit apprehensive to discuss certain things in my book, because it is something that society does not, and that's one of the themes of the book, is society not allowing you to be yourself and accepting people for who they are. So even for me, as outspoken as I am, I still am a little apprehensive, because I know people are going to judge me for the things that I know for the fact that there's people that I
when people judge
you,
do they make your money?
You're right.
Do they make you money?
You're right. You
are
right.
Do you
lay down with
them at night?
I'm still a human.
But no, but that's the thing. That's why we have to.
I agree with you.
As a people, we have to stop caring what others think, because once we stop caring what others think, and those others are probably doing the exact thing or probably feel the exact way that we do, but it's been,
jealous
it's been,
of me,
you know,
because I can do it. I agree.
And just like having our little Nas X, he's able to be himself unapologetically, and they can't deal with that.
Exactly. And my first step was publishing the book. I put a work of mine out, not caring what other people thought about me, but still being apprehensive about it. So we all have to work towards being our best selves. But there's most of us will do what society tells us to do just because we can't handle the repercussions. A lot of us, there's people that won't talk, won't say how they feel because they're afraid of being judged. But if somebody else says it, then they'll jump on their bandwagon and they'll agree with them. And I've experienced this even like at work. I have people that will love me to death to my face, but will not stand beside me when I'm saying something. So we all, you are right. We as a people need to stop caring what other people think. And that is a challenge. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it's something that I am
working
on.
It's a learned behavior. You got to, but you have to be reprogrammed. As a society, we have to be reprogrammed because we are programmed to care what others think. And those same others, why do we care what they think? Why are they significant to us?
I think about that all the time. When I start to think about what other people, I'm like, why do I care what anybody thinks? I cannot find a reason to care, but I still care. But I cannot find a reason to care what anybody thinks about me at all, because I know that, I have something. But a lot of times it's the people that have something that care what other people think, and the people that are nobody make other people feel bad. So a lot of times it's that narcissism, and then the opposite of narcissism, the people that internally have the thing that makes them just amazing, it's the people that don't have it that will make you think that they have it and you don't.
Absolutely. That's the point. When people are untalented, they have to feel and be energy vampires for the talented.
Right.
When individuals are not smart, they have to make you feel like you're stupid in order for them to feel as they're smart. When people can't shine on their own, when they got their stars, but their stars can't shine, they try to dim your star to make their star seem brighter.
Right. Exactly.
And then we have to realize it's within ourselves. It's self-recognition. You have to call it as it is. Look at this hater. Look at this insecure person. Once you recognize that people's issues comes within them and they are talking to a mirror because they're talking to themselves, don't take offense to what others have to say because they are talking to themselves. They're not talking to you. It's nothing to do with you and everything to do with them.
And I want to bring it full circle, and I know Daddy has not talked at all. I want to bring it full circle and say that is exactly – no, when we come back, then we can get all into the
you
topic.
Get first dibs,
but
Daddy.
I just want to bring it – right. I just want to bring it full circle and say that is exactly what I was going to say cancel culture is. Cancel culture is a reflection of how people feel about themselves. That is what cancel culture is, and that is why it exists, because social media has really – amplify the hate that we have about ourselves. And cancel culture is the child of the hate that we have for ourselves. I am going to play a song that I thought of and I can't help it because this is one of my favorite people, so I'm going to play it, but this is what I thought of when I thought of what we were just talking about. So we will be
DJ Will I Am on the ones and twos. Go ahead, hit it.
Oh yeah.
The winner is Beyonce Knowles, female pop vocalist.
I would like to thank the judges for picking me, my parents who I love. I love you, Houston.
and getting problems. I could sing a song for Solomon or Salamander. We took a flight at midnight and now my mind can't help but wonder how come. Spoon fed, pluralized eyes to find the beaches in the forest. When I'm looking off the edge, I preach my gut and can't help ignore it. I'm climbing up the wall cause all this shit I hear is boring. All this shit I do is boring. All these record labels boring. I don't trust these record labels, I'm torn. All these people on the planet working 9 to 5 just to stay alive. The 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 9 to 5 just to stay alive. All the people on the planet working 9 to 5 just to stay alive. How come?
You must be on.
Now, okay. Now, everybody that knows me that knows that Beyonce is one of my favorites. Now, I know that there's a part of it that sounded a little bit, I don't know the right word to use, but I felt like that song is, you know, all of that was about someone haunting, like someone talking about someone else because something is haunting them and they're haunting, like, it just made me feel like everybody's so focused on the other person. And they're just, like, taking all of these things from people and giving things to people and not focused on themselves. Like, if you're haunting me and I'm haunting you. So that just, I don't know, that's what I got from the song. I didn't really think of it as an interaction, a physical interaction. I felt it more as a mental and emotional action. I don't know, that's just my opinion on it.
You know, something that Conda K said earlier. That as I mature, Sasha, and Conda K and those who are listening, it becomes so relevant to me. Whenever I do a webinar, a Quibinar, Instagram Live, one thing that I always do is I thank those who came on for their time. Time is the most important thing that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone can take your time that you would spend time on them, it's like they're stealing from you.
Mm.
And they're stealing the most valuable thing you have, time.
Mm.
Because the time you spend thinking about them, the time you spend arguing with them, is time that you are not spending well for you. This society, this Western world, has brought with it all of the trappings of our perception of what we call hell. If there's one group of people that know hell, it's black folk in America. We know hell.
Oh,
we've lived in it for over 400 years. And one of the things that we're going to have to do is to critically analyze the position we find ourselves in and make decisions for the betterment of our people, ourselves, our children, our future. I'm at the point in my life now where I don't give a damn what people say. I care for what I can learn from them. I care for and I respect that everybody has a right to an opinion, but I also have a right not to care about what your opinion is. You have a right to your opinion, and I respect that right.
Right.
But I have a right not to even care what you think. We're spending too much of the most valuable thing we have. Money is not the most valuable thing you have.
Right.
It's time.
Right.
There will never be another August 10th, 2021.
Right.
How you spend
not in this
today.
Life, anyway.
Yes, but I'm speaking about the time that we're living
in. No, I know.
We will never have another August 10th, 2021 on this level.
Right.
So what you do on this day can never be taken back.
Right. Yep.
And we have to get to a point where we realize this. And when we hear somebody say, because for someone to come out, and I think you mentioned it, for someone to come out against you or say something negative about you, that's really a projection of their own inadequacy.
Right. Yep.
Because, you know, again, I heard Conda K say, you know, and I say it all the time, you know, I belong to the club called I Mind My Own Damn Business.
Right.
Because honestly, family. There aren't enough hours in a day, days in a week, weeks in a year, for me to really do everything I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't understand how people could be up in other people's business when I've got so much business that I have to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do get into other people's business, it's probably because you are so afraid to look within to see what you got to do.
Yep. Yep.
We have to come to a certain conclusion, a certain decision as a community.
I believe that.
And as a person.
I believe that.
If I judge a person by the content of their character, that's what I measure people. Not the isms that create schism.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about your religion. It's not about your political party. It's not about your social organization. It's not about who you hang out with. It's
mm-hmm.
the content of your character.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's
yep.
what I interact with people. The content of your character.
Right.
You are untrustworthy. My mama told me, a liar, a thief, and a cheat. You can't trust them ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're all in the same category.
We have to get to a certain point. And then you have the ones that tolerate those that do.
It's
because throughout my life, I've gotten into situations before, not because I was guilty of the offense, but that I brought the person out that did it.
Mm.
There was a time when I was in the Air Force, this European-American cadet, who was a racist, but he was a product of his childhood,
mm-hmm.
Called another brother. This brother came in, and he called him a jungle bunny. Now, a jungle bunny is a derogatory term for black folk.
Oh.
And so I reported him. And I brought him up on charges. Because, mind you, this is a future officer in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
It's my responsibility to make sure people like that don't exist. I'm 20 years old at this time. And I reported him. And there were people that came to me and asked me, please, drop the charges. There were white people that came to me, and there were black people that came. Black people came to me and said, because I'm always calling them honkies or I'm always calling them derogatory name, if you get involved and they you're charging them with calling him a jungle bunny, what's going to happen to me? I said, well, you know something? Shut your mouth and stop talking like
right.
that.
Right. Right.
But even black folk were against me bringing charges. Long story short, offender, the cadet that did this, came to me. And he pledged, not that I necessarily trusted him, but he put himself in a position where I made him present himself to the Corps of Cadets and apologize to that person. It wasn't even me.
Mm.
And I made him apologize in front of everybody for what he had said. And then I dropped the charges. I got a couple of other things out of the deal, but that's neither here nor there. But the idea is the fact that people who tolerate, Dr. King once said the hottest spot in hell is reserved for those who knew better but didn't do better. Not even the person that did it is going to hell or is not going to be in the hottest part of hell. They'll be in hell, but not the hottest spot. The hottest spot of people who knew better but just let it go. Didn't say anything, didn't do anything, and just let it go.
When you finish, I want what you just said to lead us into our actual topic. That the time is almost up. But
okay,
I would like what you just said to lead us into the topic. Because I feel like I should have a disclaimer because I understand that there are genuinely, and I have not in the past experienced it myself, knock on wood, hopefully I never do, but there are women that have genuinely experienced sexual harassment at work, out in the street. I'm lying because I have experienced sexual harassment every single day out in the street, just walking down the block. But anyway, There are people that have genuinely experienced it with people in higher positions than them, and I am not saying that this individual did not do what these women said that he did. But I believe that in the society that we live in, the type of behavior that is exhibited from people in power towards subordinates, most of the time it's men in positions of power towards women who are in their environment. This society encourages it, allows it, and enjoys partaking in it from both ends until it gets to the point. Not everybody, but there are people that enjoy on both ends participating, and even if they don't enjoy participating, they are complicit in allowing it to happen and not making sure that it doesn't happen until it benefits them. I honestly believe, and I'm not saying whether the governor did what he did or not, but I honestly believe that the only reason why he was taken down is because of the way that he spoke out against the establishment during the pandemic, specifically the president that was here before Biden. Because I also believe that Harvey Weinstein, they took him down because he did the documentary, the Khalif Browder documentary with Jay-Z. I honestly believe that they will allow you to do whatever you want, especially as a man, as a white man. They will allow, no matter how brown Cuomo is, they will allow you to do things as a man in a position or in a, I don't know if it's a, I still can't remember if it's a powerful position or a position of power. They let you do what you want to do until they do not appreciate the words that are coming out of your mouth. And that is what, the reason why, and Cuomo said it, that it was all political. Whether he did it or didn't do it, the fact that they are taking him down, in my opinion, mine alone, my opinion is that it's because he went against the establishment and was a man of the people, and the people loved him. He went against the establishment, which is the government, all those. He went against them, and they did everything they could to take him down. For whatever the reason is, whether it's because he's Italian and Italian people are very loving and they hug and it's a cultural thing. I'm just saying things that people were saying. No matter what it is, if women felt uncomfortable in his presence, this is not something that if we can't allow some people to do it and not allow some people to do it and then tear people down once they say something that you don't like. That is unacceptable. And to me, in my opinion, I believe that that's what happened to Cuomo. And it's unfortunate. And we really appreciated him during the pandemic. And I am disturbed that it would even be something that is something that he could possibly do. However, it needs to be a conversation that this, you can't just tear somebody down because you don't like something because you want to get back at them. Because that, in my opinion, is what happened. Because this is not something that's abnormal. This is something that women expect when they work for corporate America. You expect this when you're walking down the street. If you see a group of men, that they're going to say something. This is the things that women have to go through every day. I will cross the street just because I don't want to deal with it. And I am a grown woman. And I will cross the street because I know that somebody will say something and it will make me uncomfortable. So I don't think that it's something that's ever going to change, and I always think that it's going to be used as a weapon to shut people up and to keep them in their secret society, which also goes back to what me and Candace and I were talking about earlier. So that's my opinion on it. Go ahead, Daddy. Floor is yours.
It's going to change. It's changing as we speak. The key is the basis of Western civilization, the relationship between men and women.
It's domination.
In Western civilization, huh?
It's domination.
Caveman hitting a woman over the head and dragging her by her hair into a cave and rape her.
Right.
I saw that as cartoons as a child.
Oh, God.
Okay. So when a civilization is built on that, and what they did to Andrew Cuomo, which is interesting, is called buck breaking. You see, we don't understand buck breaking. We really don't. We ascribe it to certain things. The cornerstone to buck breaking, cornerstone to rape, is power. It comes many different ways. What they did to Nick Cannon, buck breaking. What they did to George Floyd. You see, buck breaking isn't for the person that is being put upon. It's it's about what people are watching. That's buck breaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When they used to buck break an African on the plantation, they never did it without the community of Africans being there to watch what happened. The same is true what happened to George Floyd. He didn't get away with it, of course, but that was the purpose, is the buck break. And when he was on George Floyd's neck and he was looking at the people, the camera, with that defiance, like, you don't tell me what to do. I do what I want. That is buck breaking. What they did to Andrew Cuomo in front of us, by breaking him down, was buck-breaking. Did he deserve it? Did he not deserve it? Not going to say. Don't know. But I do know one thing. I know that this is ending now. Their time is up. And they know it. Their time is up. And not only that, what's very interesting is that the very person who is now going to become governor is a woman.
Is a woman.
How many times you heard me say, and I'll say it again.
Candace said that earlier.
Is the
age I said that
of the
earlier.
Woman. This is the age of the feminine principle.
You called it. Called it from day one.
Well,
right.
That's the last chapter of my book.
Before day one, right. He's been calling
That's the last chapter of
it.
My book. And what we all have to do is just sit back for a moment and critically analyze the position that we find ourselves in and make intelligent decisions as to where we're going to head with this, what we're going to do. And it's not about them. Every moment we spend talking about them is a moment that we cannot talk about ourselves. We cannot afford to misspend our time. It is the most precious thing we have.
Now, Candace, I heard your voice. You can round it out because we were talking about Cuomo. I gave a little something about my feelings.
Okay. So so just for me, looking at the whole situation that went down. So, and Daddy, you say this all the time, we can't get distracted. We have to look at the bigger picture, because what the distraction is whether or not, let's put him on trial, did he do it, did he not do it? And I think the most important thing that he said was he stepped down because he wants he wants politics to go back to being politics, as opposed to everybody focusing on what he did, what he didn't do, what his allegations are, you know, what he did or didn't do, his intention behind it or not. You know, we have to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is we have to, as a society, men have to recognize that things have to change within their thought process and the way in which they interact with women. Not everybody, but some of them. Culturally, we have to reflect and see, you know, is this appropriate? Is this okay? Because in certain cultures, that's within their culture. They feel comfortable. Honey, sweetie, darling. Other people find it condescending. You know, everybody's different. People hug. People kiss on the mouth. People kiss on the cheek. Everybody is different in their approach. And what we have to recognize and what we have to ensure that we're doing is taking a step back and seeing if we're offending others. And for people to feel comfortable coming forward and saying, you know, what you did offended me, I really don't feel comfortable with you saying this or doing this or looking at me a certain way or hugging me. Like, people have to feel comfortable
and
coming
don't get
forward
defensive.
And saying that. But not even that, not even defensive. But, like, we just have to recognize other people's feelings.
What I'm saying is when you tell somebody that they offended you, the person that said the thing that offended them, I should not get offended and try to defend what they said. Accept, I think you said this earlier, accept, I think you said it to me, accept what the person is telling you as their feelings, even if you don't agree with it. You can't tell somebody that they don't feel that way. If that's how they feel, accept it and move on. Oh, I was talking to my nanny here. That's who said that. Accept the feelings as they come. You said something similar, but she actually said those words.
Yeah. You got to meet people where they are, and that is just a life lesson in general. That is what allows individuals to be empathetic. And when you say empathetic, that means understanding where a person's coming from, never been in their shoes, but understanding that it is affecting them, whether or not the person experiences something, and that's the correct. That's why reflection is so good. Even in conversations that you have with people, you know, when you reflect back, what I hear you saying is, and sometimes it's interpreted differently, being able to communicate and being able to you express how you're feeling, that is the best ability to do in order for us to be able to be happy and healthy and be effective and efficient communicators. Mm-hmm. And life is all about communication, because when there's a breakdown of communication, that's where the problem starts. Whether you're a job, whether you're in your relationship, whether in your friendship, whether your kid with mom or dad, or vice versa, like, we have to make sure that we're communicating efficiently and effectively. Mm-hmm. And you know, when people don't feel as though they're being heard, that's when they start to come out and they start to, you know, put sometimes, you know, and we do that as humans. We fill in the picture, and we have a conversation with ourselves, and we say, this is their intent. This is what they're saying when they say this. And it could be something totally different. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do is just feel that comfort within ourselves and not just keep it on the hush. Have these conversations. Talk about certain things. Mm-hmm. Bring things to light. And as it relates to such a touchy subject, as it relates to sexual allegations, that is also important to talk about, because the misinterpretation of it and then the hush-hush about it and everything, like just the generational situations that occur as it relates to anything sexual, any abuse, mental, physical, psychological, we have to talk about it, because it is just like Freddy Krueger and Candyman. I keep seeing that Candyman commercial, which freaks me out. But the only reason that they are of existence is people keep talking, they're saying their name.
Yeah.
When you stop saying their name, they're not in existence. If we talk about certain things, we get it out there, it will no longer be taboo, and we will no longer be living in misery within ourselves because we keep it to ourselves, push it under the rug, pretend like it's not happening, and it manifests in so many different ways in our lives and our relationships.
You know, I got a story to tell. I'm going to tell you a story about your grandmother, my mother. When I was young, I ate lunch with my mother every day where she worked. She worked for the American Cancer Society, and it was a block or two away from my school, my elementary school. And I used to eat lunch with her every day. And there were no black men here. And there were all, well, including my mother, there was only two women of color. But they didn't even see my mother as a woman of color, because they could not differentiate the fact that my mother was a person of African descent, but in other words, she could pass as white. She didn't, but she could have. And I remember when I used to go to lunch, my mother may not have been at her desk, and I would sit in her chair and I would spin around, you know, in the chair, because I had never seen chairs that you could spin in a circle. And so I'd be spinning in the chair. And then my mother would eventually come back. Oh, hey, hi, Skip, how you doing? And then we would go to lunch. Okay. However, there were times that I saw my mother, and one particular time, this man of European descent, came behind my mother. And here's what I wanted to tell you. There was overt things that they do It's the little thing that builds day in and day out. And when a woman is going to work, she knows that she's going to have to fend herself off, first of all, from when she might walk out, from when she walks out her door in the street, and then when she gets on a job, she's going to go through things. And one of the things that women used to go through years ago, now let me just be explain it to you so you understand it, so I don't have to try to say it another kind of way. I don't know. I don't want to speak on it now because they have different versions, but I'm speaking about bras, brassieres. Back in the day, bras were connected by metal clips. That's how you fastened them in your back. You know, you would fasten these metal clips that would connect the two sides of the bra. And what men did, and this is what they used to always do, what men would do is come behind women and they would pull the bra strap and snap it back.
That's so disturbing.
Okay? One day, this man came behind my mother, your grandmother, and tried it. And my mother turned around real quick and said, "Do you want to keep those fingers?" My mother said, "If you put your hands on me, look over there." And she pointed
That's
at
right.
me. Never seen his father?
Hmm.
He'll be here to pick me up at work because I'm sure he don't want to talk to you.
Hmm.
This was a this was a black woman back in the 60s. Talking to a white executive.
That's right.
And now I know why I am the way that I am.
And that, and you know,
you
know
like
what's
it.
Funny? You know what's funny is that probably turned them on.
Oh, God.
It could have. It could have, but guess what? It didn't turn him enough that it didn't turn him on enough that he wanted to do that because he was so afraid of what my what because you see, once he looked at me, he knew that my father was black. Or at least brown. And you see, the other thing is, you know, your grandfather, my father,
was like was, 7 feet tall.
Well, he was close to 6 feet, and he weighed somewhere
he
between 190 and 210 all the years that I knew him.
Mm.
He was what you call a strapping Bama, a Bama brother. This brother was fit. His body was fit. And he felt towards his family the way I felt towards mine.
Mm-hmm. I will kick your ass.
Well, yesterday, your mother and I were together. We made a stop, and went, and then we came back. She came back into the car, and I went on to the highway. And then she told me that this man said something very inappropriate to her.
Oh.
And I said, "But you should have told me that before we got on the road." She said, "That's why I didn't tell you." Because I know what you would have done.
That's right.
You see, you know, with all this that's going on right now, this is the end of Western civilization as we know it. Just like the Roman Empire fell, just like the Greek Empire fell, just like the Persian Empire fell, this is falling too. And it's falling because it is not based and grounded in a sense of spiritual reality. Everything that Indo-Europeans have done for the past 5,000 years has failed miserably. And this is falling apart now. What happened to Andrew Cuomo? Is only a reflection of the failure of this society. What happened to every person that you're looking at and the issues that we're facing, their time is up. But that's not what I'm concerned about. What I'm concerned about is what is each and every one of us doing for ourselves, for our family, and for our community. I am black first. Before all the other isms, I am black first. And we have to get a some semblance of where we're headed. Their stuff is gone now. It's over. They have violated every principle. California is on fire. Japan is underwater. Germany, well, Japan is under mud. Germany is underwater. Greece is having events that has never happened before. You know, James Baldwin quoted in his book that God gave Noah the rainbow sign. In other words, everything is going to get better now after the flood. God gave Noah the rainbow sign, but he said, no more water. It's going to be the fire next time.
Oh.
It's where we are. It's the fire next time.
I don't even want you to say nothing after that.
They're going to have to migrate out of California. There's no place. Towns in Ohio are being burned to the ground by this global warming, and we don't even know what it is. So the bottom line, family, for us is first and foremost, healing starts with self-love. Love yourself. And if the person that you're looking at in the mirror is not the person you truly believe you can be, don't say you hate that person. Say you love that person.
Become who you
and that person
be.
Deserves
mm-hmm.
the best. And give yourself the best. And mind your own
damn business.
And I'm not saying to put yourself in harm's way. I'm not saying forget it. There are things that you must tend to. Tend to those. But what I'm saying is time is the most precious thing you have. Use it wisely. Because once you spend it, you can never get it back.
That's right. You can't buy money. I mean, you can't buy money.
All power to the people. All power to the people. People are the power. That's what democracia means, and that publica means. It means power of the people.
There we go.
I got it.
And that is how we are gonna. And that is how we are gonna end today's show. Today's show was excellent. Excellent, and I am so proud of it. And we will see each other in 2 weeks, and hopefully nothing else crazy has happened.
Hotep family.
We'll see.
Hotep. Peace.
Protests and growing national outcries continue over the death of George Floyd.
Last night, people protesting in Minneapolis escalated as demonstrators were lashed by tear gas and rubber bullets.
The main message here
is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Officers arrested.
Trade my 4x4 for a DC3, ain't no more feel of speed. I gave him chance again, I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead but still tell you to freeze. Fucked up, I seen what I seen. I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving, they killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even. Throw us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was crushed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk then I sobered up quick when I heard all that time that they gave to Talib. He got a life sentence plus. We just some products of our environment, how the fuck they gon' blame us? You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn off the flames on. Every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the face. Fuck up the way that we living, it's not getting better, you gotta know how to survive. Crazy, I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you drive, overprotective, go crazy for mine. You gotta pay attention to the sign, seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on, I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind, if they right or they wrong. I call them now, he'll pick up the phone, and it's 5 in the morning, he waking up on it. Tell them wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. That shit be crazy, they supposed to protect us. Swords and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they go home at night, that shit messed up. Knowing we needed help, they neglect us. One of them who gon' make them respect us. I can see in your eye that you fed up. Fuck around, got my shot, I won't let up. They know that we a problem together. They know that we can storm anywhere. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead and start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. Fuck it, I'm going on the front line. He gon' bust your ass if you come past that gun line. You know when the storm go away, then the sunshine. You gotta put your head in the game when it's crunch time. I want all my sons to grow up to be monsters. I want all my daughters to show out in public. Seem like we losing our country, but we gotta stand up for something. So this what it comes to. Every video I see on my country, I got power now, I gotta say something. Corrupt the police been the problem where I'm from, but I'd be lying if I said it was all of them. I ain't do this for the trend, I don't follow them. Altercations with the law, had a lot of them. People speaking for the people, I'm proud of them. Stick together, we can get it up out of them. I can't lie like I don't rap about killing and dope, but I'm telling my youngest to vote. I did what I did cause I didn't have no choice and no hope. I was forced to just jump in and go. This bullshit is all that we know, but it's time for a change. Got time to be serious, no time for no game. Ain't taking no more, let us go for them chains. God bless they soul, every one of them names. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight, but we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. They training officers to kill us, then shooting protesters with these rubber bullets. They regular people, I know that they feel us. These scars too deep, they heal us. What happened to COVID? Nobody remember, it ain't making sense. I'm just here to vent. It happened to one of your people, it's different. We get it, the system is wicked, just learn how to pick it. Knowledge is power, I swear I'm a witness. I know that I'm gifted, I won't go too deep, cause I'm scared they'll get me. Ain't scared to admit it, some shit I can't mention. It's people who can, well here's the chance. I won't take the stand, but I'll take a stand for what I believe. Must not be breathing the air that I breathe. You know that the way that I bleed, you can be. I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood, I try to keep peace, so it's only right that I get in the streets. March for a reason, I just on GP. How people die for us to be free. Fuck do you mean? This was a dream. Now we got the power that we need to have. They don't want us with it, and that's why they mad. Yeah. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight, but we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight, but we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear.